The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those with labor. Together, a great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, and in case you had forgotten this about John, he writes very differently from all the other gospel writers, and this first chapter in John is very poetic, so I invite you to listen with an ear towards the poetic. The Gospel according to John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I came across this quote from Pastor James Howell describing the first chapter of John as a symphony, a poem, a painting, an opera, a whisper, a shouted declamation that Jesus is far more amazing than you had even imagined. Pastor Howell's description highlights how very different John is from all the other Gospels. He writes differently. He writes poetically, and he uses completely different imagery as he starts the story of Jesus. You probably noticed there's no nativity, no angels. Instead, the first chapter of John takes us all the way back to the beginning, the very beginning. In introducing the story of Jesus, John's gospel takes us all the way back to creation. And just like in the first creation story in Genesis, where God speaks creation into being, John describes Jesus as the Word that was with God in the beginning. And the Word is how everything came into being. Everything was created. Everything came into existence through the Word. Nothing that exists was created except through the Word. So using that same poetic language of creation spoken into existence, John grounds the story of Jesus in God's activity of creation. Where Luke starts off with a down-to-earth birth story in a stable, John is cosmic. More than any of the other gospel writers, John makes very clear that Jesus is God in human form. Jesus is God made flesh. It's a really interesting text to have in the Christmas season because John writes about this majesty, this cosmic existence, this awe-inspiring nature of God, which is pretty much the exact opposite of the tiny, unassuming, ordinary baby that we just celebrated. But putting these two stories together points to the miraculous fact that Jesus is both God and human. In the birth of Jesus, God entered into the world in a very ordinary way. But that in and of itself is extraordinary, that God, who created all that is, would choose to take that on, would choose to be born in that way. The first chapter of John is known as the prologue to John's gospel because it sets the stage with that poetic language we just heard, with that cosmic setting of the creation before going on to tell the rest of the story of Jesus' life and ministry. And in that prologue, we get, like I said, the cosmic context, this setting the scene of who exactly Jesus is. And then we get a quick little synopsis of who John is, the one who points to the light so that other people can see. And a quick little description of why Jesus came. So in just these few verses, we get this cosmic and poetic language where John sums up who God, Jesus is God, who John the Baptist is, the one that came to point the way, and why Jesus came into the world, which is to give us the power to become children of God. In that first chapter, he lays it all out. And then the rest of John's gospel expands on that, tells the stories of Jesus' life and ministry, his teachings, the cross, all of it. Chapter 1 sets the stage and tells us right off the bat what the point of it all is, that Jesus came for this reason, to give us the power to become children of God. I've had some really interesting conversations with the kids at Holy Cross lately from the question box that I've had out in the narthex, especially around this children of God language, because we use that language a lot here, right? It's in our mission statement. We embrace and nurture every person as a beloved child of God. And we start every Wednesday night worship with the blessing, "I am a blessed and loved child of God." And we end every Wednesday night worship with the kids marking the cross on each other's foreheads and reminding them, "You are a blessed and loved child of God." And so they have a lot of questions when we talk about what that means, especially when we talk about how in baptism we are named as children of God. So I've been asked by several children, "Isn't everyone a child of God? And aren't I already a child of God before I'm baptized?" And the answer to both of those questions is yes. So then what does it mean when John says that Jesus came to give us the power to become children of God? If we're all created as children of God, what does that even mean? Well, some scholars suggest that the problem is in the translation, that a better translation for the power to become would actually be the power to exist as. That's closer to the Greek, and it better captures the point that John is trying to make here, because Jesus has come to restore us back to who we were created to be. John helps make that connection by grounding the story in the creation story, in that moment of creation. This new thing that God is doing in Jesus, it echoes creation because it's like a rebirth. It's like a new creation moment, a new beginning that helps restore humanity to who God created them to be in the first place. So yes, we are all children of God. Every person you ever meet is a child of God. And Jesus came to help us live like that, to exist as we are meant to be. Jesus came as the Son of God to show us what it looks like to be a child of God, teaching and inviting, loving and feeding and healing and forgiving, all the things that we'll be reading about and talking about throughout the year. In baptism, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And we are called by our true name, child of God. Baptism doesn't magically transform us into that. Baptism publicly names us as who we are. Children of God. And baptism is a public claiming of that identity by parents for their children or as adults for themselves. Baptism is a visible sign of God's invisible grace, a public witness of God's love and forgiveness, of God's claiming us as God's own. The truth is, we are all born into this world as beloved children of God. But we often forget or lose sight of that truth. We start to believe other names that we're called, forgetting our God-given worth. But no matter what happens in our lives, we are and always will be blessed and loved children of God. And Jesus invites us to live that way. Jesus gives us the power to exist as the beloved children that we were created to be. So as we go into the rest of this church year and we hear the stories of Jesus, listen for the invitation to follow the word back into our true identity as loved, cherished, valued, beloved children of God. Amen.